Hallelujah. Well, praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a great day to die to yourself, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? Anybody wants to be my disciple, you got to first deny yourself. Yourself, you know, yourself is your worst enemy. Satan loves using you. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to Psalm 23 this morning? Psalm 23. Psalm 23, let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want means lack. In other words, you won't lack if he's truly your shepherd. It's amazing in how many people will say, the Lord's my shepherd, but they still do what they want to do, so God really isn't their shepherd. I get people who have come through here and so forth and have, in the office of pastor, and they've said, and then I don't see them for 3-4 years, and they'll come and say, oh, you're my pastor. Well, you can't be I can't be your pastor. Why? Because you're not a part of the flock. So everybody got it? So that's where it's important to, because the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. Forsake not to assemble. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack. And says something that he makes me. In other words, he's got a plan. He's got a plan. It's called grace. Grace is the plan of God. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions. In other words, he's removing the foolishness from carnality and the things of the world so that Christ's character can be formed in you. So he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, the will of God is to practice righteousness. Has everybody got it? The will of God is to practice righteousness. It's not always to go out there and do certain things. You must first practice righteousness, which is the will of God, so grace can be manifested, and which is the plan of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, everybody say rod. And your staff, say staff. They comfort me. Whoa. Rod. In the representation of rod, it is a royal authority. Royal authority. And the staff, of course, is a representation of God's plan, but it's also known as a weapon in a certain way. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. In other words, you and I must reach that table every day. Because then your cup runs over. He's already given us the power and the anointing. He's already given us grace. And he's given us the way so we can reach that table every morning. And by reaching that table, you're fulfilling priesthood. And then the anointing, your cup runs over. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why will goodness and mercy follow you? Because you're now backed by the anointing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, the house of the Lord represents tabernacle of God. It doesn't mean that you're going to dwell in some church. Has everybody got it? It means tabernacle of God. It says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in the tabernacle, there are three chambers. And again, I want to share with you that everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. Everything. Go to Isaiah 30. So we know that the rod is a representation of spiritual royal authority. And the staff is in the New Testament representation of the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. In Isaiah 30. Let's start at 29. Isaiah 30, verse 29. Let's read this together, please. And you shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord. In other words, to come into his presence. The mighty one of Israel. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be what? Heard. That's the eternal voice, isn't it? And show the descent of his arm. With the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempests and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down. Through what? And what voice is that? Eternal voice of the Lord. Who will be beat down? Assyria will be beat down. In other words, your enemy. As he what? Strikes with the rod. In other words, spiritual authority. In other words, it's given him authority to what? Beat down your enemy. Is everybody with me? And in every place where the staff of what? Punishment passes, which is a representation in the new covenant as the sword of the Spirit. In every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with tambourines and harps, and in battles of brandishing, he will fight with it. You know, people don't realize that when you're praising and worshiping the Lord, the enemy hates when you're clapping because it's like a tambourine. He hates it. So one of the most, and let me share this with you, and don't be convicted. Well, maybe you need to be convicted, but don't let guilt beat you up. I think one of the most dishonorable things is to pull your Bible out and start reading while people are worshiping. I think it's dishonor to the Lord. Amen. Totally dishonorable. Why? Because God is calling you to warfare, and you're sitting there reading the Bible. That is out of line, out of order, and dishonor. Is everybody okay? So that you know next time, you don't. When the enemy tries to convince you to pick up your Bible to read, when you're supposed to be warfaring, don't do it. Amen. Why? Because your battle is in the Spirit. Your battle is not reading the Word. You will not have victory reading the Word. Hello. You will have victory fighting. It is a battle. And in this battle, you must fight in the Spirit. And many times the enemy will step in, tap you on the shoulder and say, why don't you read this? What's he doing? Let me tell you something. God never interrupts himself. Amen. Never. He may cause a delay, but he doesn't interrupt himself. When he brings you to worship, he's trying to get you into his presence so you can fight and battle. Because it says right here, and in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with what? Tambourines. In other words, praise and worship and clapping. Hello. Is anybody all right? Good. And harps, and in battles of brandishing, he will fight with it. Has everybody got it? Everybody all right? Good. Hallelujah. So it's known as the staff of what? Punishment. You know, while we're here, let's go to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. The rod of God. That's today's teaching. The rod of God. How many of y'all want to be the rod of God? Psalm 149. Psalm 149 and verse 5. Psalm 149 verse 5. Let the saints be what? Joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud on their what? Okay, are you out of bed? Some of you still ain't out of bed yet, but are you out of bed? Well, it says sing aloud in bed. Well, praise God, you're out of bed. No, so you can even sing louder. And verse 6, and let the high praises of God be where? In their mouth. And a what? Two-edged sword in their what? Hand. For what? To execute vengeance on the nations and the punishments on the peoples. And to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his what? Saints. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God wants you to be the rod and the staff. Glory. Exodus 4. Exodus chapter 4. The rod of God. In verse 19, Let's read it together. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are what? Dead. That'll teach him, huh? Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So what did he return with? Royal authority. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Sounded like God wanted to teach Pharaoh a lesson. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn, and everything else. So we see that God returned Moses with the rod in his hand. Does everybody understand that? Now, he also returned him with what? He called it a rod, but he also gave him a what? Staff. Isn't the staff that turned into a serpent and ate Pharaoh's serpents? Why? Because the rod, in other words, he said here, I'm sending you with spiritual authority, royal authority. Even though it is a rod, but it is actually a staff. It will be a what? A staff. And in that staff, I'm going to execute judgment. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Go to 17, Exodus 17. See, so the staff now is the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? The rod of God. Exodus 17. Let's go at let's start at verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called it a name of the place Massah Meribah, because of the contentions of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So what did they do? They tempted God by challenging him to see if he would provide or not. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephaim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So we see, first of all, Moses struck the rock because of what? Spiritual royal authority, which provided drink for the people. Then the Lord says, listen, you're going to be attacked, but I'm going to send you up on a mountain because I'm going to use the spiritual authority to combat, battle, and have victory. So Moses goes up on the hill, and so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands on one side and on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And why was that? Because Moses held up the what? The rod, spiritual authority. See, so many times the devil doesn't want you to know who you are. He defeats so many believers because they don't know really who they are. They listen to the voice of a stranger instead of the eternal voice. Then they get caught up in the area of ritual instead of relationship. And that ritual will not prove who you are. Your relationship does. Because in this relationship, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to be encouraged by the voice of God. You're going to be empowered by the presence of God. Because he's already released to you and given you the rod and the staff to be about his business. But the enemy's always trying to steal your rod. He's trying to steal the staff. He's trying to put a muzzle in your mouth and put a deaf and dumb spirit on your mind, so that you can't see and hear or speak those things that God has called you to speak. And then people get in trouble. Go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Isaiah 11, verse 1. Let's read it together. There shall come forth a what? A rod. A rod from the stem of Jesse. Now we know that Jesse was David's father, King David's father. And it said that in this family lineage that's going to come down the family line, a rod is going to come. And this is known as the true rod of God. In other words, it's going to be the rod, not just the rod that was given to Moses and a staff, but he would be the rod. God's true rod, the eternal voice, and the royal authority would come into the natural realm. And it says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow forth out of its roots. Now, are you God's offspring? Are you the offspring of Jesus? Amen. So are you the rod also? Yes. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And this is for me and you, right? So the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon us. And he's going to give us the what? Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And this is what happens when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Is your delight in the fear of the Lord? That means reverence, honor, and respect to him. It says, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with what? Righteousness he shall what? Judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the what? Earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So we see that the true rod of God will come into the natural realm and produce offsprings. And that's where you and I come into effect, isn't it? You know, it's pretty wild that when Jesus was on the earth, go to Matthew 10 for a minute. When Jesus was on the earth, because he was the rod of God, he had all spiritual authority and power. Nothing was held back from him. And he was speaking in the eternal language, where he was speaking the voice of God, and things were changing. But the disciples that were with him at that time didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. So they were covered by the presence of God while he was here. And Matthew 10:10, somewhere around there. Matthew 10, let's start over here. Okay, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do what? Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. So they were now going out to evangelize, were they? Yeah. Hold on a second. They were not going out to evangelize the world, were they? No. Where were they going? They were going to the lost sheep, so they weren't going to the Gentiles. They were going to those who supposedly already knew God. Are you listening? They were going to the ones that have been lost. They were not going out evangelizing to gather in new converts. They were going to go get the ones that have turned their back. Are you listening? Good. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, nor do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, do what? Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received and freely give. Now listen, he was telling this to the disciples who were not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. But they were covered by the Lord because the Lord was on the earth. Because the rod of God was here. He extended his power and authority to them because he was here. That's why when he rose from the dead and he hung out 40 days. And then when he went to heaven, he said, listen, don't go nowhere. Why? Because he was no longer there to cover him. Does everybody got it? And he said, go order pizza for 10 days and wait in the upper room. Until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then go out and do this again. Has everybody got it? Now look at, go to verse 9. Is everybody all right? Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is in it, who's worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. So this is very powerful because you got to understand that it was extended when Jesus was on the earth to these men. That's why it's so important about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that the rod of God, the power, the true spiritual authority is granted to you. Because it's not, the kingdom of God is in power, isn't it? It's not religious, it's power. To what? Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, speak in new tongues. All of these things are available for me and you. Why? Because we are the offspring born of the Spirit, not of the will of man or the will of flesh. Go to Numbers 16. Numbers 16, the rod of God. Numbers 16. And verse 41. Now, the next day, all the congregation of Israel complained again against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's amazing. Everybody blames the pastor or whatever, the place, you know. Oh, man, you guys. When they don't get what they want. Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle of the meeting. And then in the tabernacle, there are three chambers, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And suddenly a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Dad was a little upset. He said, I'm going to kill them all. Why? Because they spoke against his servant. And they fell on their faces. And so Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar. Put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For the wrath has gone out from the mouth of the Lord. The plague has begun. Now you got to understand what Moses was telling Aaron. The incense is a representation of the prayers of the saints. So he said, get some incense out there. So some this sweet smelling aroma, the representation of the prayers of the saints is going to come before God. We've got to make atonement before he kills everybody. And then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. So the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700. Besides those who died in Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle meeting. For the plague had stopped. And the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's house 12 rods, representation of 12 tribes of Israel that have been granted spiritual authority. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony, where I will meet you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I chose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel. Each of their leaders gave him a rod apiece, for each leader according to their fathers. House, 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi, which was the house of priests, had sprouted and put forth buds, and had produced blossoms and yield ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to all the children of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to keep as a sign against the rebels, that they may put their complaints away from me, lest they die. Because Aaron was put in charge in taking care of the tabernacle. He was associated with one of the priests. And so many times, that's why it's so important that you and I fulfill priesthood. Because it's also associated with spiritual authority. It's a place of the rod, isn't it? Is everybody with me? See, that is, remember, there's the three chambers of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And the outer court is a place of salvation. The holy place is a place of priesthood. And the most holy place is a place of kings and warriors. Amen. Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. The rod of God. Revelation 19. Is everybody there? In verse 11, let's read this together. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, which means the eternal voice. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who's that? Us. Hallelujah. Now out of his mouth goes a what? Sharp sword, that with it he shall strike the nations. And he himself will rule with the what? Rod of iron, spiritual authority. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he is on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The eternal voice with royal authority coming to bring judgment. And he judges by righteousness. Go to Psalm 19 in verse 1. Psalm 19 verse 1. Let's read this together. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. In other words, the eternal voice speaks. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. What chamber? He's coming out of the most holy place. And rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from his heat. In other words, the eternal voice with royal authority coming out of the chamber of the tabernacle. Again, everything revolves around the tabernacle of God, and we're going to do a teaching on the Ark of Testimony associated with the tabernacle of God, but we'll get to all of that. But I just want you to begin an understanding about everything revolves around the tabernacle of God and all chambers and everything, priesthood, authority, everything. Even the furnishings in there, everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. And the reason for that is because God has called us to be priests. Go to Revelation 1. Without fulfilling priesthood, how can you be the rod of God? You can't. Revelation chapter 1. We don't want religion, man. Amen? There's enough of that. We want to kick butt, take some land, cast out some devils, rescue some souls, watch them get empowered with the Holy Ghost, raise the dead, amen, speak the eternal voice, pull out the Holy Ghost bazooka. Revelation 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we are called to be kings and priests, but you first must fill your priesthood. Priesthood first. And listen. So, understand that in these chambers, the outer court of salvation, right? The holy place is priesthood. That's where the rod is. And then the most holy place is a representation of the staff or sword of the Spirit. But you and I are known now as the temple of God, aren't we? And in the tabernacle of God, in the most holy place, there were specific things placed in there. That once you've reached the most holy place, something begins to happen. So many people who have been believers are going to die never reaching the most holy place. Some of them will die never reaching the holy place. They'll still stay in the outer court their whole life. Go to Hebrews 9. That's why God is raising you up. To kick them out of the outer court into the holy place. Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 1. Then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine servants and earthly sanctuary. For the tabernacle was prepared. And what's in the tabernacle? Three chambers. The first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, that's called the holy place. And beside the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which is the most holy place, which had the golden incense and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the what? Manna. Now, I want you to look at these three things that are in the Ark of the Covenant. This is the covenant that has the mercy seat on it. There are three things that are very vital that are in this Ark of Testimony or Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is placed in the third chamber of the tabernacle, known as the most holy place. And in it is placed the manna. In this Ark is placed the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the mercy seat. And all these things we cannot now speak of in detail. So I want you to look at something here because it's very important. In the tabernacle of God, there are three chambers. There are the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And in the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant, which they used to carry. It carried the presence of God. And in it was the manna, Aaron's rod, and the tablets that were given to Moses that God wrote on for the Ten Commandments. Is everybody with me? Now, you and I are known as the temple or the tabernacle of God. Are you listening? And in me and you, we carry these things. Now, the ten tablets known as the Ten Commandments is a representation of the outer court. Why is that? Because that's where salvation is. It's called rules. Here you are. In other words, the tablets was showing sin. And the holy place is known as the rod of Aaron, which representation of priesthood. And then the most holy place was the area where the manna was released because it's giving life. This was manna that was provided. In other words, that they could eat in the time in the wilderness. But for me and you now, it is given to me and you that we can speak. In other words, the sword of the Spirit. Is everybody with me? So in this, please understand that God is establishing his offspring to become the rod of God so that we can go out and express his power, authority, dominion, and express his eternal voice that changes, that separates, that pierces. See, so many times the devil steals from you who you are or prevents you from going into any other chamber. Or maybe you've touched and gone into the most holy place and things began to change in your life and you became a warrior, but then you slid back to the outer court again. That's why it's important to maintain your priesthood. And that's one who ministers to the Lord. Is everybody okay? Let's go to Ephesians 2 and we'll close here. How many of y'all want to be the rod of God? Well, then there's a price to pay. Ephesians chapter 2. You are the tabernacle. You are the temple. Ephesians 2. Is everybody there? In verse 19. Let's read it together. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, on whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a what? Holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So you are now not only in this area as you've gone into the third chamber of the tabernacle and you maintain your priesthood, you become not only the rod of God, but the voice of God in the area where you speak what he tells you. You become a sword of the Spirit and you are backed by the anointing of God now. See, this is where a new life is established. See, this isn't about religion. It's about a place where it's no longer you that live, but him. It's a place where your desires are no longer yours, they're his. It's a place where religiosity is offensive. It's dirty and nasty. It's a place where sin doesn't have dominion, but you do. It's a place where there's oneness in the Spirit with your Father. And you know who you are. And you know him. And in that relationship, nothing can separate you. Nothing. Because you would rather die than be separated. That is a life of a Christian. If you really want to be a Christian, that's Christ-like. There is a price to pay. And that is to deny yourself, pick up your rod, and follow Christ. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed. We ask that this seed be empowered to your people and it be protected by the blood of Christ. And Lord, that you raise them up to be warriors, to be the rod and extension of your voice, your power, your love, your truth, and your signs and wonders. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.